We tend to associate certain events and occasions with a particular time of the year. In Washington, D.C., we are now in the springtime of experience. Now, growing up, I lived in a rural area in Pennsylvania, and springtime was a time for planting. Just about everybody had a garden, either a flower garden or a vegetable garden. And in my household, my father tended to the vegetables, and my mother was the gardener in charge of flowers. While my father's garden had a wide range of produce, my mother planted but one flower, and that was gladiolus. She had rows and rows of gladiolus, all different colors. It was really a beautiful sight. And the thing is, they all bloomed at the same time, which allowed my mother to share them with family, friends, neighbors, and the church. Some even found their way to the lobbies of the local nursing home and the hospital. Now, in the month of March, the seed catalogs began to arrive at my house. In those days, everybody ordered his or her seeds through the catalogs. And of course, there were lots and lots of pictures letting you know what that harvest would look like. Once my parents made their selections and the orders were in the mail, thoughts now turned to the process necessary to prepare for the harvest. You see, there is such a thing as a planting season. One established rule for us was not to plant certain things before Memorial Day. There was also the reminder that not everything in the garden requires the same length of time in the ground. In addition, one had to select the best place for planting, not too much exposure to shade or to sunshine. They took into consideration the amount of rain and fertilizer necessary to support growth and development. Now, a lot of time, work, and attention were involved in planting and maintaining a garden. Nevertheless, my parents did not consider it a task or a chore. They looked forward to the time of sowing and reaping. They loved working with the fertile soil, nurturing the flowers and plants, the cucumbers and radishes, the tomatoes and corn. Now, we know that love is the creative power in the universe, the power that builds, develops, and brings any enterprise to fruition. We understand what we love. We are one with the nature of what we love. When it comes to the planter, his or her understanding of the seed and its process is important information. Acknowledging the nature of the seed, they determine the best method of cultivation, nurturing it to its time of fruition. They wisely read the instructions on the package the seeds come in, noting any necessary fertilizers or other necessary nourishment helpful in assisting the seed's growth and development. They gently remove anything that hinders the blossoming, such as weeds or stones. This is their personal act of love. And this policy, faithfully, steadily followed, means that in due time, the crop will reward them with the harvest of their attention, their love, and devotion. These things apply equally to the garden of our consciousness. We must tend our souls as carefully as the flower and vegetable lover tends the garden, and with the same joy and absence of tension. We must do it not as a difficult duty, task, or chore, but rather for the love of doing it. Remember, we understand what we love. I'm talking about the spiritual equivalent of vegetables and flowers. In the garden of our consciousness, these are a few of the spiritual qualities that we wish to cultivate. Peace of mind, deeper understanding about life and about us, more love for God and for our fellow man, more joy and happiness, harmony and contentment. We do this by loving them, thinking of them, claiming them, and of course, practicing them. Now this attention, it is similar to the activity of the planter when he or she tends the garden. Remember, the approach is one of love. And we are one with the nature of what we love. When cultivating our garden of consciousness, we should follow the pattern of the planter, the sower of the seed. Now remember, this is an activity of our inner nature. So our tools are not hoes, rakes, or watering cans. Tending to the soul's awareness, we are mindful of our thoughts, our focus, and our attention. We must try as well as we can to remove wrong habits of thought and other faults which tend to spoil the garden. These are those poisonous weeds and the stones that hinder and delay. This activity of mental cultivation prepares the soul for the seed of truth to enter in, take root, and in due time to spring forth as conscious reality. As the thinker, we sow the ideas that determine the harvest. To quicken the soul to its fullest potential, we must plant ideas that bear witness to truth. You see, the role of the gardener is a rewarding one, and never is it truer than for the one who is the gardener of his or her own soul. When we talk about thinking, claiming, and practicing, it is well to return to the work of thought. Thoughts are things, living things. They grow and develop in accordance with the amount of feeling we give them. They produce themselves, as all living things do, by generating fruit after their own kind. All of this is equally true for positive thoughts or for negative thoughts. This is how it works. When we accept an idea, any idea, by believing it, by thinking over it a great deal, by feeling strongly about it, that idea takes root in our soul and grows into a great tree. And this tree has a powerful influence in our life. Now, if the idea is a positive one, a true one, we know this tree as the tree of life, and we will feel its blessings in the remotest parts of our life and experience. The fruit of this tree has its roots in the soul of man who nourished it and encouraged it to fruition. Now, some will also say there is a tree of death, simply because what it produces is contrary to life. This tree grows from the roots of pessimism, resentment, self-condemnation, and above all, fear. Naturally, this tree, which is contrary to life, is going to spoil our harvest as long as we allow it to grow. Nevertheless, it is not difficult to destroy its root and branch if we are sincere in our desire to do so. And the reason is this: because there is no real power or strength to error, there is nothing to sustain what is contrary to life. There is no reality to a so-called tree of death, because, in truth, there is nothing contrary to life. plant the tree of life in your soul. Cultivate it, develop it, and you will be surprised at the fruit that will follow. Let us remember that love is the creative power in the universe, that power that builds, develops, and brings any enterprise to fruition. Now, when these packages of seeds began to arrive in my parents' mailbox, they placed them on the shelf in the garage, awaiting their time for planting. Now, we know that contained in the seed is everything necessary to bring it through its stages of planting, taking root, and shooting upward to form the blossom of its particular harvest, eventually evolving to the full bloom of fruit, vegetable, or flower. However, even though the life in the seed will do the work, if we leave that package on the shelf, nothing will happen. The planter has a definite role to play in sowing and reaping. This is where the activity of love comes in. At one with all life, we do what is necessary to perpetuate life. The life in the seed, well, it knows what to do. However, our hand removes the seed from the package and plants it in the ground. Our hand prepares the ground, waters and fertilizes the soil, removing weeds and stones. Now, it is not entirely true that we plant the tree of life in our soul. God has already put it there. I have planted thee a noble vine, wholly a ripe seed. Nevertheless, until we are one with life, until we love and understand the nature of that tree of life, nothing much will happen. It will be as though we have placed the divine seed on the shelf, and then we forgot all about it. The life in that seed carries us through the time of revelation and recognition, through to the time of personal realization. God has already played the role of the planter. To receive the bountiful harvest of spirit, we play the part of the one who tends, cultivates, and cooperates with the life in the seed. The harvest of the tree of life is truth, and truth is a seed. Every truth that we have read or heard that makes us feel it is truth is an idea that we have taken into our consciousness. So let us not forget that growth is a process, which is why we use those words, cultivate, tend, and nurture. When we first hear or read a statement or a principle of truth, we are in the infancy of its harvest. It has just come to our attention. It is still out there, and it has not yet taken root. We cannot rush the harvest. Many times when we are first introduced to truth, we begin our act of cultivation by simply repeating the words, the ones that we have heard and read. While the truth idea is in the process of taking root, it is vulnerable to temptation, debate, and distraction. Perhaps in our desire to rush the harvest, we may find it necessary to share this wonderful truth with our family and our friends, actually with anybody and everybody. Now, these individuals, they may have no interest at all in what we have to say, questioning our sanity, our conviction, and our determination. Since the truth idea is still in its infancy, it has not yet taken root in our consciousness, and we may find it difficult to debate it or defend it. In time, we may begin to question our motives, our intentions, and most of all, our conclusions. We may even say, this does not work, asking, what was I thinking? Or where did I go wrong? Again, let us study the practice of the gardener. The gardener plants the seeds in the ground, away from the prying eyes of others. He does not find it necessary to debate or defend his actions. The work is done silently and secretly, and he trusts the life in the seed to do the work. The full bloom of the harvest will bear witness to itself, and that is the only justification necessary. Jesus told us that whatever we say or think or do in secret will be shouted from the housetops. In other words, whatever we think inwardly, that is what people will receive from us and know about us openly. Perhaps we've never thought of this great truth of life. Perhaps we think it's possible to have secrets from the world, that it is possible to be rude, unkind, or cruel, and no one will notice. However, divine law teaches that whatever we think in that little secret place within our heart is shouted from the housetops for the entire world to hear. Now, we can prove this in our own experience by noticing that when we have those thoughts of love or sharing or giving, that everyone is aware of it. Likewise, the moment we are unkind, rude, or disrespectful, others will be aware of it. And we create an atmosphere in which we do not shine too brightly. We cannot hide what we think about in that little secret place within our heart. The full bloom of our harvest will bear witness to itself, and yes, others will notice. We will reap what we sow. It can be no other way. No one is immune to the rule of divine law. Now, a word of caution to the one who tends the spiritual garden. When truth touches our consciousness in the beginning, we should not think that we are now in heaven, or that now that we have received a truth, that we're going to spend the rest of our days in heaven while on earth. No, we have merely had an idea of truth planted in our consciousness. And if we abide in that truth, if we let that seed abide in us, if we ponder it, it will come forth into full fruitage. Now, if spiritual truth were just something intellectual, like 2 + 2 = 4, then it could be that when you first hear it once, it is yours forever. However, because truth is spiritual and not intellectual, we must first take it into the mind, nurtured and fed within, until eventually it comes forth as a realized or demonstrated truth. Now, sometimes success is rapid and swift. Other times, not so much. Remember, even the seeds in the ground have varying degrees and times of growth and duration that differ from one another. Sometimes the activity of cultivating and nurturing a spiritual idea can take a very long time. In some cases, many years may pass before we see any measurable results. For instance, some truth might be given to us today, and yet, it is only years later that we realize its ultimate truth. In the meantime, we may have forgotten that we had heard it or read it. We may wonder why this happens. Well, the reason may be that, at first, we probably heard it with our mind, and we may not yet have heard it with our inner ear, our spiritual ear. Nevertheless, remember, it is a seed. And at some point in time, something stirs it to our recognition, and we may say, "Ah, now I know." The human being lives in what we call the process side of life. This means that a period of gestation is required before something advances from idea to manifestation. I'm sure you have already discovered that the process side of life requires patience. The gardener is patient with the crop, respectful of the process that produces the harvest. We cultivate our spiritual garden in a time of stillness as the beholder, patiently awaiting that still small voice that speaks to the inner ear, to our spiritual ear. Let us choose this day to make this our practice. This morning we have the opportunity to be still and listen. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. Come unto me, I will give you rest. I give you my love and my peace. I have prepared a table of spiritual refreshment, the fruit of the Spirit to sustain you and maintain you. You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. Your discerning eye of lifted consciousness receives my storehouse of infinite blessings. I planted in thee a noble vine, holy a rice seed. Nourish it, so that it may grow into its conscious awareness of me. I have sent you to bear witness to truth. I have sent you as a light unto the world, to reveal to others the nature of their divine origin. Do not fear or be dismayed. I am your comfort and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I have given you your holy name, Christ. The voice of truth declares, I am that I am. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in all beings. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him
in peace and have a blessed week.